Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Rob Basham.
Hey, this morning I would love to begin by just corporately reading the Lord's Prayer. We'll put it on the screen. Would you read this out loud with me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Deliver us from the evil one. Today, I want to talk about this concept of deliverance, Christ our deliverer. To be delivered means to be rescued. It means that someone has bore something for you, to be saved, to be free, to be redeemed. And many of us enter this room today longing for deliverance in an area of our life. Some of us are here today and we're struggling with a physical ailment and we're longing for deliverance from that. For others, it's deliverance from that self-talk, that inner voice that is so nagging and so often mean. For others in this room, we're looking for deliverance from a financial burden, if we could just be free from the stress that that brings. Or maybe you're here today and you're longing for deliverance from an addiction, one that it seems like you keep conquering, but it keeps coming back. Maybe you're here today and you're longing for deliverance from comparison and the grass is greener and the jealousy and the envy that are attached to that. Others in this room, you're here and you're wanting deliverance from insomnia, from fear, from panic. And still others in this room are looking for deliverance from memories, memories that keep coming back for one reason or another. The truth is that many of us are in this room and we're looking for deliverance. And today I want us to talk about Christ who brings this level of deliverance. I also want to remind you that today is Super Bowl Sunday. And here in the great Pacific Northwest, one of the memories that many of you, I believe, need deliverance from has become very vivid this past week. If you know, you know. Let me put a picture on the screen. All right. This picture is from February 1st, 2015, and if you know, fans in the room, Marshawn Lynch was a running back that was really good, and he was standing in the backfield when the Seahawks decided to attempt to throw a pass that was intercepted by Malcolm Butler of the New England Patriots, securing yet another Super Bowl victory. Final score of 28-24, a memory that many of you have seen over and over this week, a video that has been played, and some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, and I'm sorry, but later today, these two teams will play again in the big game. And as someone that lived in Boston for many years, 5 years, three of which the Patriots won the Super Bowl, this was a pretty good day for me. And yet, a memory that I know haunts many of you in the room. You're desperate for deliverance. You're desperate for redemption. You're desperate for freedom from it. May it come. May it come for you today. Back to our regular programming real quick. We are in week 2 of this series, Echoes of Exodus, and our desire in this series is that you will see so many of these connections from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You see, the book of Exodus is this incredible story of the people of Israel, and yet Paul in the New Testament pulls out much of the imagery and many of the themes that we see in the book of Exodus. And we want to just draw your attention to those things. We want you to see that all of Scripture is one unified big story that points to Jesus. We don't want you to just see these as individual books. And Exodus is so much more than just like a history book of the people of Israel. Last week, Brian got us kicked off and he did a great job talking about this theme of slavery that we see embedded into the book of Exodus. These people needed to be free from the physical slavery. And now in the New Testament, we see that Paul is talking about our own spiritual bondage and he's making this relation. He's using the Exodus language to describe the freedom that Jesus brings us. And today we talk about this concept of deliverance that we see both in the book of Exodus as well as in Paul's letters. We see Moses seen as the deliverer, and we know that Christ is our deliverer. We see Moses, the prince of Egypt, and we see Christ, our prince of peace. When I wrote that line, I was also taken back to a pretty great movie that Disney put out a long, long time ago, The Prince of Egypt. And can I even say that there's so much accuracy in this movie, and though it's quite old at this point, even as we walk through this series, you might want to rewatch it, or some of you kids watch it for the first time. But this morning, our story once again begins in Egypt. The slavery of the people of Israel at the hands of Pharaoh has hit a breaking point. They've been complaining for years and years, and their complaints, their prayers have gone up to God, and he is remembering the covenant that he made with Abraham. And so God calls a deliverer. His name is Moses. He's called from a bush that is on fire and yet not consumed. And he's told, you need to go and release the people. Be the deliverer. We read about it in Exodus chapter 3. It says, the cry of the people Israel had reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians are treating them. They're abusing them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people out of Egypt. A deliverer raised up returns to Egypt and appeals to Pharaoh to grant the people freedom. But we know the story. Pharaoh's heart is hard, and he rejects these appeals, which leads to multiple plagues that come one after another, and yet still Pharaoh refuses. Eventually, God commands the people to prepare for their exodus. Enough is enough. The time for deliverance has come. Interestingly, a meal is part of the departure. A meal. And so each Israelite family is committed or commanded to put together a meal, to bring the unleavened bread together. We read about this in Exodus 12. It says, these are your instructions for eating the meal. Be fully dressed, wear your sandals, carry your walking stick in your hand, and eat this meal with urgency. Now, as good as the flatbread, the unleavened bread probably was the centerpiece of this meal, the instructions said would be a young lamb or a young goat that would be slaughtered and cooked over the fire. Clear instructions were given to that, and the blood of that sacrificed animal was to be collected. And before they would eat this meal, there was a clear command that was made. It's a strange one. They were to take the sacrificed animal's blood and smear it on the doorposts of their home. Because what was about to happen would be a final plague that would bring the release. An angel would be released that would take the lives of every firstborn in Egypt. Unless there was a covering of blood over the home. That covering would act as the Passover. It has led to a feast that those who follow Judaism continue to this day to celebrate this protection, to celebrate this incredible exodus that happened because the angel did come and the cries were heard throughout Egypt and Pharaoh relented and he released the people to be led by Moses to the promised land. But we know the story. Moses led them out into the desert, and yes, the sea parted, but for years they wandered. They wandered, and we see the stories of their highs and their lows. And it was during one of their lows that Moses was also given a prophecy that we read about in Deuteronomy chapter 18. It says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you yourselves have requested of the Lord your God when you were assembled at Mount Sinai. You said, don't let us hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore or see his blazing fire, for we will die. Then the Lord said to me, Moses, what they said is right. I will raise up a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell the people everything I command him. The prophecy was given. The waiting began. For years and years, for generations, for hundreds of years, the people of Israel held on to this promise. Every year they would celebrate the Passover. They would hold on to this promise. And then, in the time of Roman occupation, in a time when religious corruption was at a high, the people waiting for deliverance, waiting for rescue, came in touch with the person named Jesus. He began to speak some interesting things and teach with authority and operate in power, and many would pose the question, is this Jesus the second coming of Moses? Is this Jesus the deliverer that we have been waiting for so long? And the answer is yes, he was. In fact, the Apostle Peter in his Pentecost sermon that we read in Acts 3 declares it as so. Jesus is the awaited deliverer that many of you missed. You see, the deliverance that he would bring would be so much greater and so different than anyone expected that most would miss it. But a new exodus was underway. Not freedom from the Roman occupation, but a freedom from spiritual bondage, from sin and sickness and shame. You see, another meal would take place. Another meal would take place at the table, and it is no coincidence that it was during the Passover celebration that Jesus gathered his inner crew together for that Last Supper. And it was there that they entered into the meal, and they sat together, likely reclined together at the table. When Jesus, in a confusing manner, took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus was declaring that he would be the deliverer. Jesus was declaring to them that he would be the Passover lamb. You see, Moses instituted the Passover meal, but Jesus is the Passover. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 5, 7, he says, "Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us." This is the good news of the gospel. He would give his life for you and for me. It wouldn't be a temporary blood on the doorpost to provide protection. It would be an ending of sin and death's reign on creation. It's a powerful moment. Suddenly, things start to make more sense for the followers of Jesus. They think back to when John was getting ready to baptize this person. And John looks at him and says something really weird. "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." How confused the audience must have been at that introduction. But Paul wants us to understand with clarity what is going on. Ephesians 1 reminds us, "So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on those who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins." Because of the shed blood of Jesus, we are no longer slaves. We sing of our freedom. We sing songs of deliverance. We have been liberated from our bondage. Jesus ultimately acts as the new Moses, the fulfillment of God's promise to deliver his people, shifting the focus from physical slavery to spiritual liberation. Jesus ends the waiting. He fills the prophetic word seen in Deuteronomy, and he brings the story to the next stage. Because we need to go back to the table yet again. Because the story is still being written. Because yes, Christ is our deliverer, but it has not yet been fully realized, and it will not until he returns. And so the patterns of Exodus stand true in our lives. We still wander. We still wait for the fullness of what has been paid for. We read about this in Revelation 19. It says, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb. And his bride, us, the church, has prepared herself. Do you catch the imagery? Do you see the connections over and over in this grand story? From eat this meal with urgency, to do this in remembrance of me, to celebrate this well, because victory is there. This is our story. This is our blessed hope. This is our worship. And so what do we do with this? With the few remaining minutes we have left, let me give you two calls to action. The first is, can I encourage us to break bread and remember? You might be asking, why in the world are we not taking communion today? This is pretty much the perfect setup for a communion ceremony. We thought about it, and we decided not to, because today I want us to understand that the beautiful ritual of taking communion together as the church is not just limited to this room. It's a command that is much bigger. We've added these traditions to us, but communion is more a shared feast around the table. And today I want to invite you to practice communion multiple times this week. To do it not just when we gather here, but when you gather with friends and family and coworkers. I've taken communion hundreds of times, but most of the most memorable times that I've taken communion haven't happened in a church setting. One of those times was at the end of a kind of a pilgrimage that I was doing with other pastors throughout Wales, and we ended in England. We ended there at University of Oxford, Oxford University, and we were touring with one of their deans from the religious department. And on our final night together, we went to this restaurant to just spend some time together and debrief what we had seen and heard, the history that we had just taken in. And we were in this pizza restaurant, and it's England, so the pizza was not very good, but we were able to look past that, and we were having incredible conversation when suddenly the dean kind of stood up nonchalantly, and he began to just talk to us. We didn't even realize that he was taking us through communion. As he began to share of what Jesus did on the cross, as he began to talk about the bread that we were eating and the wine that we were drinking, and he celebrated it with us. And he led us into this time. And he reminded us that this group of pastors would likely not be in the same room ever again after tonight, until we sit together at the feast, the wedding feast one day. And he turned our eyes to the future. Church family, I think there's an invitation for us to be intentional this week. To be reminded that any time that we gather, we get to share in the joy, the abundance, we get to give thanks, and we get to remember that one day we will do this together. Those of us that have placed our allegiance in Jesus have a seat at this beautiful table. One of the simple liturgies or breath prayers that I encourage you to even just start to use is simply this: thank you for this meal and the meal that is to come. Thank you, Jesus, for this meal and the meal that is to come. This week, will you break bread and remember? The second invitation, the second call to action is to experience and release deliverance in the present. Here's what I mean by this. We've been delivered. The price has been paid. The saving grace has been provided through the blood of Jesus. And our texts that we've looked at today call us to release a level of thankfulness. They remind us of the hope of heaven that is to come. But church family, please understand, this grand story of salvation is not limited to simply being saved from the past and being saved to a future. Our scriptures speak to the here and now as well. We are given a role for the here and now, for the present. We experience the deliverance, and we are able to help others experience that deliverance. Yeah, it hasn't been fully realized quite yet, but it has begun. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It has been inaugurated. It is why we were able to pray this morning, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus brought that ultimate deliverance. And when we confess that he is Lord and believe in our hearts that he accomplished this and that he is who he says he is, we are adopted into the family of God and we get a seat at this table. But Jesus also brought glimpses of heaven as he walked the earth. He healed the sick. He brought freedom from the demonic. He engaged the outcast, the leper, because he wasn't afraid. He was the life. And as you read the Gospels, you see over and over that he doesn't tell his followers to just sit back at the table and enjoy the gift that he has provided and stay there until he returns. No, he says, get up. He says, get up and join what I am doing. But for so many in the churches today, we stay at the table and we await his return, our blessed hope. But the commands are there over and over. He offers us freedom in the here and now, and he commissions and he empowers and he releases his authority. We are his ambassadors of deliverance in the here and now. He commissioned the 12. He commissioned the 72. He commissions the whole church as his Holy Spirit falls at Pentecost. And he sends us. He sends you and he sends me into our world to be Moses-like figures of deliverance, to bring glimpses of heaven to here on earth. Our church's vision is a city at peace with God. We don't believe that our church alone is going to make this happen. We partner with the kingdom of God that is at hand here in our city. But this vision is not just some slogan that we put up there that sounds good. This is something that we believe in. And this vision is only realized when we collectively embrace this truth, when we declare that his blood has delivered us and set us free around the table. But get up and go proclaim that message, bringing the peace in the power and the presence of Jesus everywhere that we step. We, the church, are the life and the light. We are the ones that are able to enter into those pockets of bondage and decay in our city. That proximity does not scare us. It doesn't bother us because we carry the authority and the light of Jesus. We, church family, are the ones that speak truth to injustice. We are the ones that point out words and actions and say that's not okay because our words and actions embrace the kingdom of God, its principles, its love, its beauty. Church family, we are the ones that get to rehumanize where dehumanization has brought fear and pain and panic. That's our job. Church family, we are the ones that get to pray for those that are stuck in chronic pain and sleepless nights. We, church family, are the ones that get to release the comfort and the peace that transcends all understanding to the suffering in our community and those in our greater city. We are the ones that visit the outcast and the prisoner where they are. We are the ones that love all of our neighbors. We are the ones that throw extravagant proms this Friday night for an overlooked part of our community. We are the ones in the here and now that are a glimpse of heaven touching earth, a sign pointing to what one day will be. We are the Moses-like deliverers that bring the peace of the kingdom everywhere we go. Are you in? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this grand story. We thank you for the people of Israel that you give to us as an example. And we thank you for the threads that continue on. Lord, we worship you today for your shed blood and the deliverance that you bring. We look forward to the wedding feasts, our blessed hope, our future when all the pain and the sickness and the shame is gone. And we invite you, Lord, here in the here and now to use us to bring deliverance to others, to make your name known, to invite others to a seat at the table. Would you use us in Jesus' name? And would you receive our worship in response this morning? Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.